Genesis 13 verse 1 says, "And Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you.' Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord." Amen. We trust that God will add His blessing to this reading from His Word. Last time we looked at our little series called The Gospel in Genesis, we were looking at Genesis 12, and we noted Abraham, this great man of faith. When we looked at his background, we discovered that he was a rich man. We'll see something of that again tonight. He was a religious man, for he was steeped in idolatry. But he was a ruined man, for he had no relationship with the only true and living God. And of course, without Christ and without God's salvation, neither can any one of us have a relationship with God. Doesn't matter what we have in monetary terms. It doesn't matter who we are in terms of class or creed. It doesn't matter what denominational tag we hang around our necks. If we do not know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't know anything of this freedom that the young men have been singing about tonight, then we have nothing to look forward to in time or in eternity. But this man was blessed of God, for God not only called him, God enlightened him. He asked him to leave his old life behind and to step out in faith. And Abraham did that. He stepped out just as God had asked him. And he was a man who had set his heart on something that was eternal. He didn't know where he was going. God hadn't yet shown him. But he was looking for a better place, a place that wasn't temporal, but a place that was eternal. And he was asked to take God at his word and follow his ways. And that's exactly what Abraham did. And his call was not only costly, it was also a call to obedience. Unfortunately, when we come to the end of Genesis chapters 12, we see that Abraham was disobedient. Before we come to the verses tonight in Genesis 13, let me just lay the foundation here for you, because at the end of Genesis 12, we discover that Abraham steps out of the will of God. He does his own thing, but God had to deal with him and bring him back again to the place where he should have been. So tonight I'm going to speak about these two men that we've read of here, Abraham and Lot. Lot, of course, was Abraham's nephew. He had accompanied Abraham when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. And as we look at these two men tonight, I want you to think about two different choices. You see, life is all about choices for every single one of us. There are choices that we make. Sometimes it doesn't work out and they don't really matter. We learn from those mistakes, we move on. But life is all about choices. And here are two choices that are brought before us tonight that we do well to consider, because the first one is the choice of a godly man. The choice of a godly man. At the end of Genesis 12, you'll read again of Abraham's lapse in faith. God had called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, asked him to go towards Canaan, to leave his old life behind. And as Abraham's walk with God developed, he was learning what it was to walk with God. But he made some mistakes. It wasn't the end for Abraham, but he did make some bad choices and he made some mistakes. Maybe you're here tonight and you're that kind of Christian. Maybe as you look at your life and you look at your walk with God over the years, you've made some mistakes. Your life tonight perhaps is marked with faults and failures, and sometimes you look at yourself and you feel that there's no way back for you. You feel that somehow you've gone away from God. You haven't been living as you should have done. You wished you could turn the clock back and do things differently. You can't do that, but there is a way back tonight for you if you've got away from God. And I know that because as we look at this man, Genesis 12:10 says this: there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. He was in the center of God's will. He was seeking to live in obedience to God. And he was suffering greatly. And for Abraham, this must have been a terrible struggle. So much so that when a famine came, he stepped out of the will of God and went down into Egypt. For Abraham, this was a time of testing. He had his family to provide for. He had much livestock to cope with. But this was also a time for him to trust God, because only God could meet this man at the point of his need and provide for him. But it says that Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there. And when you read of going down into Egypt, in the Bible it refers to someone stepping out of the will of God, doing something that God never asked him to do, and that's what Abraham did when he left Canaan. He forsook the Lord, he foolishly lied, and he failed miserably. But then when you come to Genesis 13, look at what we read in verse 3 and 4. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Between Bethel and Ai to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. So having forsaken the place where he should have been, we discover now that Abraham, having neglected the altar, he comes back again, pitches his tent, reestablishes the altar, and his place of communion with God is restored. And that's why I'm saying to you tonight, if you're a backslidden Christian, if you're away from the Lord and you're not walking the way you should be, and your life is marked with faults and failures, and we've all had them, I want to tell you that when we look here at Abraham's life, there is hope for you. You can come back again and you can enjoy the communion with God that you had at the first. In those early days when you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you were developing in your faith, when Jesus Christ meant everything to you, when the Word of God was central to your life, when your quiet times were something that you looked forward to, when coming out amongst the Lord's people was something that thrilled your soul, that's at the first, that's how you started off. That's a way back at the very beginning, when God and Christ revealed Himself to you and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior then. But what about now? What about right now as you sit in this place as a Christian? Albeit a backslidden Christian, somebody who has lost their way, perhaps made a mess of things spiritually, you're not walking with God, you've gone back into the world, and you're struggling spiritually in a backslidden state. I'm not being critical tonight. I'm just reminding you as we come to look at Abraham's life. He made some wrong choices. He lost his way when he went down into Egypt. He lied. He failed miserably. He let God down. He was in a place that he should never, ever have been. But he came back to Canaan, to the place he had been at the beginning. And he pitched his tent. And he reestablished the altar and he restored the place of communion with God. Is that what you need tonight as you look at your life? I say again, I'm not trying in any measure to be in any way critical of where you are tonight. I'm just trying to help you to take a look at yourself and look at your life. The Apostle Paul, very often he encourages believers as they grow in their faith, and sometimes he stops with them and he says, look, examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith or not. Take stock of your life. See where you are spiritually. And if you're not going on tonight for whatever reason, your walk with God isn't what it ought to be, and you know it's not what you want it to be, then tonight, look, come and talk to me about that. Let's see where you are. Let's see how you've lost your way. Let's understand that there is a way back to God tonight for you, because God will lovingly and graciously restore us to Himself. And whatever the faults and the failures, God will deal with them. And God will give us the grace to start out afresh with Him. Is that where you are tonight? Away from God, in a backslidden state. Friend, listen, God does not want you to remain there. And there's no reason that you should, because there is a way back to God tonight for you. But it might be that you're not saved at all. It might be that you need to be restored to communion with God too and brought back to fellowship with Him because you're in your sin. You're without Christ. You're without hope. You have nothing in time to live for. You have nothing in eternity to look forward to. You say to me, but Pastor, listen, why? Why on earth would I, as an individual, need to be restored to communion with God? Well, you're a sinner. You've broken God's law. You're living under God's judgment. You're alienated from Him because of your sin. You're on a road tonight, young man, or woman, or older person. You're on a road tonight that the Bible says is leading you to destruction. You need to be brought back again to God. You need to be brought off that pathway, brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ, because that's the only way it can happen. The Bible calls this reconciliation, accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. The very word reconcile means to bring together again. And you say, but why do I need to be brought back to God again? Well, remember way back in our studies in Genesis 3, something happened when sin entered into the world. In that place of bliss and great beauty, Adam and Eve sinned, God drove them from the garden. They were separated from him. And they needed to be brought back into fellowship again with God. That's what sin does. Sin is the great separator. It separates you and me from God. And unless and until our sin is dealt with, we can never, ever enjoy fellowship with God. But thank God that reconciliation is possible. For Paul says this to a group of Christians who lived in the city of Ephesus, and he says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, separated from God, a barrier existed, you were alienated from God because of your sin, you were the enemies of God. Paul says, but now listen, you who sometimes were like that, far off from God, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. And when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he did it so that your sin and mine might be dealt with. The young men have just been singing in that lovely piece, an old hymn that we all know well. Some of the hymns tonight have reminded us of his death on the cross for our sins. Listen, that's the only way that any one of us can be reconciled again to God. He is thrice holy. We're sinners. That gap between us needs to be bridged. And it was bridged at the cross when Christ died for our sin and bore our sin in his own body in that tree. So whether you're backslidden or whether you're not a Christian at all, here is a message for your heart tonight. You can be restored again to God, and all that has happened in your life, put it to bed. Get back to the place where you used to be. That's where you were at the beginning. Remember what it was like at the beginning. Think about what it is tonight and get back to the place that you ought to be. And if you're not saved, that separation between you and God, the gap has been bridged. Christ has died. You can be saved tonight and your sin dealt with. And you'll never have a better opportunity than this. The choice of the godly man. When Abraham had gone down into Egypt, he pitched his tent, reestablished his altar, restored the place of communion with God. I want you to see, secondly, the choice of a worldly man. As the story unfolds for us, we discover that Abraham and Lot, who had started out together, were accumulating great wealth, and they had many animals and much livestock. And then we discover problems begin to emerge within the family circle. They become too powerful now. It's not possible to live together anymore. And there's conflict between the two households. Verse 6 says this, the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great, they could not dwell together, and there was strife. They got to the stage where decisions had to be made. Abraham was concerned about what might happen. They were a family. There was no need for this conflict. This was a bad situation. It needed to be resolved, and Abraham took the first step. Do you know something? In every conflict, even within a family, whether it's your family, my family, or whether it's within the spiritual family, the family of God, where there is strife and division, somebody needs to take the first step. Somebody. Because division and strife will never be healed until somebody is big enough and brave enough and gracious enough and loving enough to take the first step. And then put the matter right. That's what Abraham does. He takes the first step. He reaches out to Lot in order to solve the problem. He reminds Lot that strife was neither good nor necessary. He says, we're brethren. He showed Lot the land of Canaan as it stretched out. And he said to him, Lot, make your choice. And he gave Lot the opportunity to move on. Whatever decision he made, Abraham would go in the opposite direction. And Lot responded. He appreciated Abraham's gesture. He made his choice, and I want you to note something about that choice. Two things. It was a worldly choice. It was a worldly choice. Lot is an example of a worldly man whose heart and affections were set on the wrong things. It says that he lifted up his eyes and he looked out on the well-watered plains of Jordan. They seemed good to his taste. He saw the land with all its potential. He went and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. When Abraham looked beyond Canaan and thought of that which is eternal, Lot was concerned only with the here and now. He's not the only man in Scripture to think like that. In Luke chapter 12, we read of a man who's referred to as a rich man or sometimes a rich and foolish farmer. And this man looked at life with all the wrong motives. This man was so taken up with himself he forgot about God. Concerned only about life and no thought about death. This man was building up his accounts without realizing there was a day of accountability. And in the midst of his prospering and his building and living for the world, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You fool, tonight your soul is required of you." Not everything that looks good to the eye is good for us. In fact, it can be bad. And it was certainly bad as far as Lot was to discover, sadly to his cost. He made a worldly choice. What an impact it had on him and on his wife and on his family in days to come. You see, if you're not a Christian, and perhaps you're standing at the crossroads of life tonight and you're thinking, well, maybe I do need a Savior. Maybe I do need this thing, salvation. Maybe there's something in this cross work of Jesus Christ. If you're standing there tonight, man or woman or young person, listen. You need to look beyond life and think about death. You need to look beyond the pleasures of this old world and understand they'll only last for a season. You need to look beyond what you can have and see what you could actually lose as far as the world's concerned. What do I mean by that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ put it like this. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and in the process lose his own soul? And some of you young folk tonight, and I'm sure many of you are Christians, maybe some of you are not. Maybe you're making choices right now about school, subjects, university, all kinds of subjects that will have some impact on you, your life, what you do with the rest of your life. And that is so important to make the right choices. But listen, there's a far more important choice than that. There's the question of your soul. There's this whole matter of eternity. There's a day coming when life will have run its course. And you need to make sure that the choice that you make now doesn't catch up with you in the end and your sin find you out and you die without Christ. And even though you may have gained much in life and you could go right to the very top of the ladder that you're beginning to climb, do you see if you lose your own soul? Whatever you have accomplished in life will not matter that. Lot made the wrong choice. It was a worldly choice, and it was the wrong choice. There was nothing spiritual about this. He simply looked out. He saw the well-watered plains. And he set his heart on it. Departed from godly Abraham, headed toward a godless people. He never consulted God. He acted on impulse. He headed for Sodom. And what a downward path he was to follow. The scripture tells us about it. At the beginning, he only lived near to Sodom. He pitched his tent towards it. And then we read of this man, and he was at home in Sodom, regardless of their moral and spiritual state. The Bible makes it very clear that they were wicked exceedingly in the sight of God. Lot chose to live amongst them. We're told he then became a judge in Sodom, judging these godless people. We're told that he had to be dragged out of Sodom before the judgment of God fell on that wicked, immoral city, and sadly, the wife he took with him left her heart in Sodom, turned around, and she perished because Lot made the wrong choice. He was on the slide, living in a place where sin was abounding, loving the world and getting further away from the God who had called him and godly Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees. Wonder, is that how you see it tonight? As you look at life, as you make your choices, as you think about time and give little thought to eternity, I wonder, is it that as you look out, you see a world that has so much appeal? You're looking for the buzz. So many people today looking for the buzz. I've never worked out what the buzz is. But it's the in word, and people are looking for the buzz. Let me tell you from experience, the buzz isn't all it's made out to be. The pleasure that you crave for will last only for a season. When you've finished with the world and the world has finished with you, what then? What then? And when your life has run its course, as it will do, and you leave the world behind, what then? When pleasure turns to pain, your body decays and dies, what then? I like the comment made by John Phillips of Lot. He says the first question that comes to a soul is heaven or hell. The second question is heaven or earth. And he said Lot answered the first question when he left Mesopotamia. He answered the second when he chose Sodom. Friend, you have a choice to make tonight. Just imagine you're standing, as it were, at the crossroads of your life. These eternal issues are staring you in the face. You know that one road will lead you to salvation and to Christ and to heaven and home. And the other will take you down a broad road that will lead you to destruction. When the world has finished with you, it will spit you out. And your sin will find you out. And heaven you'll never see. Can I tell you tonight that Jesus, for your choice, is waiting? Tarry not, at once decide. While the Spirit now is striving, turn and seek the Savior's side. For the Savior alone can bring you home to heaven. A young man many years ago tore a page out of a Bible. He used it to wrap up something and then he put it back into his pocket. A young Christian beside him said, "You shouldn't have done that. That page contains the words of life." And the young man laughed, turned around and held on to that little piece of scripture that he had put in his pocket and went his way. Later on, when he was sitting on his own, he took it out and he carefully unwrapped what he had put into the Bible. And he sat down and he took a glance at what the leaf of that Bible said, and he began to read it. It was from Daniel chapter 12, verse 13, and it caught his eye. It said, "But go you your way till the end comes, for you shall have rest and stand in your lot at the end of your days." And that little phrase gripped his heart. And that young man began to think about the end of his days. He wondered what the end would mean for him. He wondered what life would bring to him. He wondered what direction he should go in life. And he chose to bow his head and trust Christ. And he said later it was the best choice he had ever made. What about you? What will your choice be? Worldly choices are always wrong choices, and they'll lead us away from God. And when we get away from God, there's no telling where we'll end up. So here it is. Are you a backslider tonight? Do you remember what it was like in the beginning? At the first, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, and tonight you're not walking with Him anymore. Come and talk to me. Don't go home and keep living in that state. You'll never be blessed. You'll not enjoy it. If you're away from God tonight, get restored to Him before you go home. If you're not saved tonight, make your choice and make it wisely. Worldly choices are always wrong choices. And they could lead you further away from God than you ever intended to go. Think about it. Go the way of the